Hey, you're listening to World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. My guests today are a wildly creative bunch from New Orleans, a collective of musicians that were the unanimous winners of NPR Music's Tiny Desk contest a couple years ago. They are called Tank and the Bangas, and their new album is called Green Balloon.
Double Dutch and free lunch, me hoes and sweet ones, looking that like me, dudes that dodge me, girls want to fight me, because like Kimmy, I'm talking pretty, confident as a ditty like Whitley.
Tank and the Bangas recently made their TV debut as a band on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Frontwoman Tank had already performed on that very stage as a backup singer for Norah Jones. And at that time, she made a wish.
When I went on Jimmy Fallon years ago, I said, I can't wait to come back here. I'm going to come back here, and Jimmy Fallon's going to love my band.
He did. Tank and the Bangas are full of musical surprises, including the quirky character voices Tank is able to use while singing. We talk about how playing with dolls helped her hone that unique quality. She also talked about her early days in the slam poetry scene, growing up literally on Music Street in New Orleans, and the band performed songs from their latest album, Green Balloon. They started us off with this one. It's called Hot Air Balloons.
There once was a girl named Blue who loved green, who constantly daydreamed, often floating away too soon. See, I never wanted to be held down, so I would float until I flew.
Brother, and I'm lost up in the
Tank of the Bangas recorded that one for us live at World Cafe. That is Hot Air Balloons from their latest album, Green Balloon. I sat down with keyboardist Merle Burkett and with Tank, who sings leads, and I had to start off with a question about the evolution of her unique, powerful, and really quirky voice.
Well, the crazy part is, if we're speaking of evolution, I never was a really great singer. I wrote better than I sang, so I focused more on writing and writing my poetry. And then I got with a group that infused music and poetry together, Team Snow.
Team Snow.
You lame, man. And so, but it was a really special group. So they gave me a little more confidence in you know, my singing ability, so I would, you know, sing more. But was playing with Barbie dolls and watching all these Disney Channel shows all my life, you know, it really added to, you know, all the voices. I have a lot of sisters. I played a lot of Barbie dolls for a very long time, so I had a good time in imaginary land.
What's a Barbie voice?
A Barbie doll?
What's a Barbie voice? Yeah.
Let me see. Well, I'll have her little head, you know, and I just got to play with it. And I say stuff like, well, you know, me and John aren't together anymore. It's just kind of weird, but I'm dealing with it.
Sound like a soap opera.
I just play with my dolls. And when I see a doll on the ground, if I'm by my niece and I see a doll, I got to pick it up. I got to play with the doll. I got to do that little scene for like 5 minutes. I put it down, then I go finish cleaning up and doing my thing. But I got to play with the doll.
She's got to play with
I got to play with the doll.
Since you're a little kid, though, hey?
Inside,
yeah.
We are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about where you grew up in New Orleans and how you ended up having such a vivid sense of imagination.
Let me see. I mean, I grew up in New Orleans in the 8th Ward, and I grew up on Music Street, 8th Ward.
Literally Music Street.
Yeah, literally I grew up on Music Street, which is pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, around a lot of different girls. We just had a good time. And then, you know, the neighborhood started to get really bad. So my mom moved us to the east, which is like the suburbs, the black suburbs of New Orleans. And so moved back there. And I met some different type of girls. They were great, too, but just different girls that introduced me to the Spice Girls and Selena.
Oh, Selena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Selena.
I know, I thought I was too, but that wasn't it was Selena that I was introduced to.
Yeah.
And they changed my life too. So it was so much music, so many different girl groups I loved, you know, and we had a lot of fun in my neighborhood. And growing up around the corner from a theme park definitely adds to the excitement
Jazz
of being
land.
A kid. Jazzland. I mean, that's so New Orleans.
Jazzland.
Mm-hmm. That's the theme park. That's what it was called.
Describe it. Would you?
Oh, man.
He worked there.
I worked there when it got switched to Six Flags New Orleans. Well, we had a section called the Mardi Gras section or something like that. We have like names like the Megazev, Zydeco, Zynga, you know, New Orleans stuff or whatever. And
yeah.
We had all kinds of
perfect,
New Orleans food.
It was
just New Orleans wrapped in one.
Theme park.
With rides.
So, Tank, you grew up with this like vivid imagination and writing poetry
Yes. And
all that. And then you got into slam poetry, right?
I did.
So explain what that is.
Slam poetry is basically getting naked on a stage and asking somebody to rate you on a scale of 1 to 10. You don't physically get naked.
Oh, okay.
But you're getting naked with your feelings, with your emotions, with your past.
Yeah.
There's some deep stories that you get on that stage, and it's really vulnerable to be there. And strangers will rate you on a scale of 1 to 10 based on how good or how your poem moved them. Mm-hmm. And that's what slam is to me.
That is an intense thing to do.
It is. It's life-changing. And you tell your family business. You tell your personal business. Mm. I've heard a lot of stories. I've seen people get real free on those stages only for somebody to put up a card that says, you know, 7.3.
Oh,
oh wow.
Did you ever have that experience where you go up there and you lay your life story bare and then you're like, oh, okay, Rose?
I always got good scores. But I was a part of a good team, and I had a great slam master. And most of the time, every time I got on stage, we did something called a group piece, which is where it's more than one of your group members get on stage. So I always felt supported, you know, when I was on the stage with my team and really confident, because we practice so much. Practice will really make you prepared. With preparedness comes confidence, I believe.
Is there a piece of a poem that you remember that you want to say?
Uh-uh. Okay. Well, we used to do one. Well, we used to say, this one used to go hard. We used to say, Mama ain't seen since she was queen and 16. And she ain't heard a word since she learned about them birds and them bees. She said he forgot to mention the snakes in the trees. So I'm about to tell you what they forgot to mention to me. Mama. Mama has a deaf eye and a blind ear. We say it weird like that, but something like that. I don't know.
Oh, but wow. It
was basically about just how sexual abuse can really do a generational thing in families. Grandmothers, moms, daughters, a lot of them could be sexually abused and they won't say anything about it. So the poem was called Mama Ain't Seen.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah.
You move the air in the room when you do something like that.
Really?
Meryl, you can feel it, right?
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're doing that in a group situation, in a slam poetry group, is that an experience that, like, when one of you is writing about, other people in the group are like, yeah, that happened to my mom too, or that happened to my grandma too? Do you know what I mean? Like, the kind of thing that you realize is more common.
Oh, yeah.
By talking about it with
others.
Definitely. Yeah.
Once you talk about it, you realize it is common, and you realize how quiet things are kept at a certain point, and how, thank God, that's changing, but so small, because, you know, victims are so embarrassed. You just got to put a name on it. You got to call it out for what it is, and hopefully that it won't happen again to other little girls and little boys.
Yeah. So we're going to hear you do a cool song called Dope Girl Magic.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Yeah, whoa. What do you want to tell me about this before we hear you perform it? And how is this connected maybe to a little bit of what you've just said?
Dope Girl Magic is saying that I'm dope, you know? No, it's not. Jesus. Okay, let me see. Okay, I'm chilling with the guys, and they just asking me to write. So I just write. You know, they say, no, write more bars. And you know me, I'm like, what am I write about?
Bars.
And to me, when I'm writing as a, you know, writing a bars, as you call it, I feel like I should be cocky. I feel like I got to put on this persona of this certain type of girl, because the only girls that I see rapping are really cocky and rapping about, you know, how dope they are. Mm. So I was like, well, I'm going to write one called Dope Girl Magic.
Well, let's hear the song, and then we'll talk a little bit more about why your life is cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tank of the Bangas with Dope Girl Magic.
Mella, I'm a dope girl. I'm a tote girl. I'm a fat girl. I do the most, girl. I'm a dope girl. I'm a tote girl.
That's right.
I do the most, girl.
Uh-huh.
Man, you got me rolling them doobies on them. Pull up, you wreck up, I open up shop. Man, I could buy the lot. Busy, I'm chewing, I'm eating, I'm booked in December. Then you know I'm off to the mall. Dropping nuggets because the hang is so low with the stall. Figure me out.
You trying to figure me out.
Nigga, while I get the paper, pace, and fit now. Get out of here, but we fall out. I'm out hanging, shut the lids from the top of the ceiling. I ain't got no ceilings.
Right.
No dose on a Bentley chimney, written this spaceship, titty top. That duck though, put the beat on, but for this song, play this song. Bella, man, my car different. My watch different. My car different. I stunned different. I leveled up.
Why?
This no fun, man. This so easy. Man, this easy for me. Man, this thing easy for me. Man, this thing easy for me. This is so easy for me. See, my car different. My watch different. I got a red car. I got a blue car. I got a green car. I got a green car.
Green.
Watch me about that lot. Watch me about the lot. I'm skirt off in the Jaguar. I drive off in a mascot. Doing donuts like a fat boy in a car red like a tip. We kept top off. Wayne Brady dance off. Michael Jackson glove off. Hit the gates lean. Make a prank call with a Samsung.
Lemonade.
Come on, we big spits. And it's authentic. And my Reeboks are vintage. My feet up. I'm sipping tea in a sippy cup. I'm too high to give one up. I'm too up for a close up.
I got bantu knives with a red sock and a blue sock with some flip flops and some yak me and a head scarf. Like a real snake, like a real mean dumb greens. Eating red beans in a truck stop. It's a nice watch. It's the best stop. Gonna stop. No, for can't stop. But I won't stop. Call them on like a laptop. Oh, no stops. I
wanna be my cup different. My watch different. I stunt different.
I leveled up. I'ma level up. This so easy for me.
This so easy for me.
This so easy for me. Man, my car different. My watch different.
I stunt.
I'm a fat girl. I'm a tote girl. I do the most, girl. I'm a fat girl. Fat girl. I'm a tote girl. I do the most, girl. You do the most. You doing the most. You doing the most. You doing the most. You doing the most. doing the most. Doing the most. I'm doing the most. Doing the most. Doing the most. Man, where my keys at?
There you go. That's the magic. That's Tank and the Bangas. Yeah.
We just wanted to like do it kind of off kilter. Like we wanted to take off all the musical elements of it and just do it like we did when we was in middle school beating on a table, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like with pens and pencils. And so hopefully you guys feel it.
So you made your TV debut recently on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, which had to be an exciting thing, maybe, I think. Yeah.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Extremely scary.
Yeah?
Scary. I was the most nervous I probably have ever been.
Really? Why?
Because, I really don't, I'm not too nervous about the studio audience. You know, they're always there. It's the people at home, it's the millions watching that you can't
just
see.
Just knowing that
that you
watching.
Know that they're watching you. For
right?
Sure. And if you mess up, that's it.
Yeah. But you didn't mess up. It was.
I had a couple of mess ups, but nobody don't know. I mean, this is my poem. This is my song.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I got to get through it, and I see the finish line.
Yeah.
I have to get past the finish line. But extremely nervous.
Then at the end of the performance, Jimmy Fallon comes over and he gives you like this big, huge hug, and he's flipping out. He's like, "I loved it," and you know he doesn't mess around. Like he doesn't always say that. You know.
You know what happened too? When I went on Jimmy Fallon years ago. Doing backgrounds for Norah Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I said, I can't wait to come back here. I'm going to come back here, and Jimmy Fallon's going to love my band.
Hey, now.
So he probably don't even know why he loves us, but because I said it years ago, you're going to love this. And when I got on stage right before I performed, I just started laughing so loud and hard because I said, look at what happened. Like, I'm here. It's exactly what I said. Like, I made it in my mind, and then, like, I came here in my heart, and, like, I'm here in my physical, and, like, I'm here. I said, I just bust out laughing, and then then I got nervous again.
Yeah. I can't believe you didn't bust out crying because that's like that. Ooh. It's very powerful to stand in a space and manifest something and then have it come to you.
I'm gonna manifest $1 million.
You right?
I need to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I need to manifest a lot of things.
Right.
You know.
I don't know. I was really recently. Lizzo was sitting where you're sitting
right now.
Great. I love her, and she was talking. She was talking about. What a crazy ride she's having, because when she came in here at that very moment, she had just become like the top played artist on Spotify during those 24 hours.
Mm.
And she was talking though about how no matter how much she wished for her whole life, how much energy it takes to receive good news and to live in good news and to believe that you deserve it. Mm. And you like Tank with what you said before about sort of getting naked on stage when you're doing slam poetry, and even what I know from your debut album from the last song, Instructions on Being, where you're this really reflective person about who you are and how you move through the world. Has it been work to own or accept the success that you're having?
It is. That's a really big question. You just kind of have to. I think always stay prayed up with your group and prayed up personally so that you won't feel at
prayed
all
up?
Entitled.
Did you say?
Yes.
Sorry, prayed up. Meaning like you're giving thanks and you're praying.
Always.
Okay.
And in all things, give thanks. Always, always giving thanks. They said even that if you're constantly giving gratitude, that the molecular structures of your brain will change and that you can literally create more happiness for yourself. So I try, you know, to try to practice that even more so that you can always... so that you won't ever seem ungrateful or entitled to the things that are coming your way. So that, because you feel like, oh, I put in so much work and nobody much see it. Now they get to see it. Now I belong. This stage belongs to me. No, it's not like that. Got to be continuously grateful and thankful and seizing every opportunity, because just as quickly as it was given to us, it can be taken away.
What's your next thing that you're manifesting now then? What are you praying for now?
Discipline, consistency. it's hard. It's hard to be disciplined on the road because
endurance.
They got a KFC, they got a Burger King, they got a McDonald's, got a Pizza Hut.
Yeah,
you know
and you're
saying?
Tired. And,
I'm tired, and I'm waking up in my legs. I'm like, man, I always tell everybody, I love the stage, but sometimes it's the journey to the stage that can,
airport,
you know, that, oh my God, airport with your bags. Ooh. You trying to sleep and a student just come over here. Can you please lift up the your seat and your I'm like, is this gonna affect the landing of the plane? Let me sleep, girl. You don't know what I'm going through. But yeah, it's that. It's the journey too. But once you get up there, it's like somebody plugging us into the wall.
Yeah, it's like energy.
The energy. Ooh, that's what I live for. And I live for having more than $20 like I used to. So when I come to New Orleans, I can take my mom and my family out to dinner and feel very happy about it, very proud. Yeah. I want a house.
Yeah.
I want a house, man. I want a puppy.
I truly believe that all things are possible in general, and also especially when it comes to
puppies.
To you and this band and taking the magazine. Oh, okay, it's a puppies too. That's so good. Okay, so let's go from puppies to ants. You have one more song that you're going to do for us. It's Ants from Green Balloon from this new album. Why did you want to use the imagery of ants on this song?
Well, I was in the studio with the guys, and they were just playing music in California with Jack Splash. He's great, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going through my Spotify playlist, and I see a song that says Empire Ants by the Gorillaz.
Gorillaz, yeah.
A song I never even heard before. And I just go, where do the ants go?
Well, let's hear it. This is Ants. This is Tank of the Bangas.
Like me, guys that dodge me, girls wanna fight me, cause like Kimmy, I'm dark and pretty, confident to ditty like Whitley, yeah, down to earth like Freddy, down to ride no Bentley, at home it was Kool-Aid Packs, Disney, Lizzie McGuire, one Saturday morning on the weekends, never had a pair of Jordans, I don't want them, my jump shot, don't need sneakers, more calls, not gonna afford them, Rice Krispie treats and noodles, Home Alone, Macaulay, Coke, and man, sometimes, I need more space than stars can give me, more time than God provides me, and TV's so I can get was still made for me. Reruns and moon and waiting for me. Bouquet for me. Man, Amy, scare me. Ashley, make me jealous. Cheryl and my best friend. Ryan, my boyfriend, he gay as his father. But them love letters be sweeter than snowballs in the east. And freezing street wrapped in a love letter and a warm sweater in December. Man, I'm better. I decay whatever. Mondays, I be tripping, man. My mama want me to wash the dishes while she makes my brother distant, man. I'm moving at 18, but fast forward 10 years later, it's the same routine. I'm complaining, catching bugs like it's a brand new thing. I want everything and anything. Thrift clothes in that basket on Hummy truck. My life is funny as what? Like this with a cut. Just my luck, hiding up, famous and blunt. Rolling a blunt, turned down while everyone is busy turning up.
Why can't I make you stay? Why can't you let you be?
That is Tank and the Bangas. Live on Roll Cafe. They're fun. That's great. Thank you so much for the chat. Thanks for performing. And thanks for all the joy that you bring through what you do.
Thank you, Fifi.
We appreciate you. Yeah, sure thing. That was fun. Merle Briquette, please. Keys and Tank of the Bangas. And of course, that was Tank that I was talking to as well, who leads the band. Thanks also to the folks we had playing music in studio with Tank of the Bangas. Joshua Johnson, Albert Allenback, Jonathan Johnson, Danny Abel. We also had Angelica Jelly Joseph in there singing. Thanks to Tank and the Bangas. Their latest album is called Green Balloon. Thanks also to our World Cafe senior producer, Kimberly Junod, for all her work on this session. And for our amazing technical director, Chris Williams, for all of his recording work. Okay, I'm Talia Schlanger, and I will catch you next time on the World Cafe from NPR.